Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly flavored. Praise God. Anybody who still wants to volunteer to go out to the auto auction where many of our people are, they've been a tremendous witness out there. There's been great impartation. We've been hearing great reports. And we're honored and blessed to see the servants of this house expressing Christ. Amen. Praise God. You know, something specific that the Word says, and it's important, you know, everybody knows we're in the last days, amen? And not only in the last days, but in the last minute sometime, you know? And the Word says something, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Again, that's the only place where their freedom is. And so if we're not allowing the Spirit of the Lord to have His right of way, there's no freedom. And that's one of the things the Holy Spirit was quickening me today. It's called divine right of way. We must allow Him to have the divine right of way of our thoughts and purposes. And there's such a battle within us in that arena of allowing the Holy Spirit to have our thoughts and purposes. Because we have a tendency, because we're so hard-pressed in every area and influence, and everything that is before us is always trying to mislead us and put us in a place where our thoughts are our thoughts, self-thoughts, thoughts of the past, thoughts of oppression, thoughts of lust, thoughts of all of the things that interfere with God's will and purpose. Remember, you and I have been called. The word called means battle. We have been called to what? Battle. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, and our destiny is to infiltrate the world system to rescue those who have been taken captive. So we can unplug them from the world and plug them into eternal life. Amen? And it says something very important. It says that those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So if we're not allowing the divine right of way, then it nullifies us and disqualifies us from being sons of daughters of the Most High God. Amen? Remember, we are not, God rescued us not only just to rescue us from the deceptions of Satan's kingdom, amen? Rescue us from a world of destruction and hell, the end result. But He rescued us so that we would be His sons and daughters, number one. So that we would be a part. You know that last song we sang, no longer slaves. What? His blood runs through our veins. We're no longer slaves to fear, no longer slaves to sin, no longer a slave to this world. And we've been slaves for so long, not even knowing it. Nobody volunteers to become a slave, hello? We are taken captive by deception. And when we are taken captive by deception, we become bound. In that place of bondage, the only way bondage can be established to be free is by truth and the presence of God. Other than that, people go back into deception. You know, one of the things that occurs is the more that we're in God's presence, the more sensitive you are. Now, you can attempt to get in God's presence, but without participation and cooperation, you'll stand outside of God's presence while everybody else is stepping in God's presence. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And the wind is blowing today. In and out. Would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Because there's a price to freedom. Anybody remember what that price is? Cooperation. So the more you cooperate, the more free you get. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Divine right of way. Is everybody there? Let's speak this together. We're going to start at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. For though we what? Walk in the flesh, in other words, in the physical realm, we do not war according to the what? According to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not natural or carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, a stronghold is a memory lie. Number something that you agreed with that's a lie, or something that somebody spoke to you that has become a label and a stronghold. You know, many of us have, when we didn't do something right, when we weren't successful or something, or something occurred, the voice of the stranger comes and says, you're a failure, you'll never make any, you'll always be, or somebody else will be angry with you and say something. When you agree with it, it becomes a stronghold. It says, for weapons of warfare are not physical, they are spiritual. Why? Because Thoughts are not tangible, are they? Hello? You can't grab a thought with your physical hand, can you? It says something very powerful in verse 5. It says, casting down what? Arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought. Remember, every thought is attached to a voice, and every voice is attached to a presence. Every thought releases two things, an image and an emotion. Why? Because spirits get fed by emotion, don't they? So if that thought is from God, you'll be feeding your spirit, and the fruit will be peace, joy, and righteousness. If the thought's from the deception of the enemy, it's going to promote reaction, feeding the flesh, sowing to the flesh. And when you sow to the flesh, you reap what? Corruption. Remember, every thought from the enemy is always trying to promote you. Does everybody got it? It tries to beat you or promote you with pride, one or the other. But every thought from God brings exhortation in what he's done and who you are in him and what you're not without him. Amen? So he's saying, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into what? Captivity to the obedience of Christ, which is the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth. And being ready to what? Punish or destroy all disobedience. Why? Because every thought from the enemy is going to promote disobedience. It'll promote rebellion. It promotes jealousy, pride, anger. It's trying to get a reaction from me and you, so it releases an emotional feeding for a demonic spirit. It says, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So what's your obedience have to be then? You must submit to God, or you can't take authority. Because if you're not submitting to authority, we have none. Amen? In this, these weapons, which are actually spiritual because they must be spoken. The word breath is also associated with spirit. So when we receive from God, we must believe. If we don't believe what we're receiving, we don't execute it. So when somebody says yes, 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 but doesn't execute it, it's because they don't believe. Does everybody get it? So if somebody can say yes, 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 they can be in 40 services and still never execute. Amen? It's because they don't believe. And cry, because the word believe means to what? Follow. So if you're not believing, you're not cooperating. Hello? And the whole thing is to be able to sever, grab hold of these thoughts that are influenced by darkness before they can penetrate us and plant viper eggs. Because that's what they do. And then they hatch. If we could see in the spirit realm, if everything was unzipped, you would see serpents that come and bite you. And they release a venom or plant viper eggs. That's why they said that a person can get worse later. Why? Because spirits come back seven times stronger. In Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, hallelujah. Divine right away. You know, it almost reminds me of, like, if you go to a four-way stop sign, you know, there's a law that says let the who's ever there first, you know. And if you're there at the same time, the person to your right gets the right away. Amen? So every time we go, you know, when we're getting ready to make a decision or something, we've got to come to a place of stop and allow the divine right of way to have his way. And don't run him over. Okay, Lord, you got it. I think God's been hit at the four-way stop sign many times. Although he rescued us at a four-way stop sign. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, would you read it with me? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with what? Endurance. The race that is set before us. What is the endurance? You are pressing through the worldly pressures, worldly influence. You must endure. That's also known as patient. Amen? Verse 2. Looking unto who? Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you also become weary and discouraged in your souls. Amen. Now, in this, so the world is going to always try to impress in you to stop following the Lord. You know, some, I mean, you can be clean for 20 or 30 years, you know, come out of the drug world or whatever, and there are still parts of your family waiting for you to fall. They're still waiting. Well, I hope they make it to the throne room and find out that I'm a new creation in Christ. We're going to just have to pray some of our families right to the throne room of God. Amen. So we're going to need to endure, press on and in. Why? Because to allow the divine right of way, there's an area sometimes when you and I must press on and in to hear. Does everybody get this? You have to press through the barrier, the dimensional barrier, to hear from God. And so many people quit before they press through. So then what they believe they're hearing from God is really not God. So then they move on what they hear and they say God said it, but it really wasn't God. Because the Lord, many times, especially if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, he causes you to press through. He says, come. And too many people quit so far, and they'll just, whatever they feel, they believe. And then they take what they feel, hello, and they dictate their decision by how they feel instead of pressing through the barrier and hearing from God truly. So then what happens is a person walks in assumption, and that's the number one rule we are to avoid, assumption. It's called presumptuous sin. When there's assuming, it's a dangerous thing. God can't trust someone that assumes. That's the difference between seeing and not seeing, isn't it? There's a difference between blind faith and faith. People that walk in blind faith assume. In Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, hallelujah. You know, one thing we don't want to do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Amen. You know, there was an area after I was saved and so forth. And I was coming to an arena in my life where I had to make a decision. Was I going to continue on to be an entrepreneur in business? Or was I going to fall into full-time ministry? Even though it was all there right in front of me. And I could have been very successful in the entrepreneurship. And even though I was putting them together in ministry. But it got to a point to where the Lord said, I want you to lay this down now. I mean, we even did it for a while. We were manufacturing a juice that had the Word of God on it and all kinds of stuff. And it just finally got to a point where, okay, I have to lay this down and I put it on a shelf. So then we started the discipleship with the residential and everything else so that we could go on. But I believe that the Lord is getting ready to release other things because entrepreneurship, marketplace ministry is very, very important now. That's a way to infiltrate the world. Amen. And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. Would you read it with me? But recall the former days in which after you were what? Illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering. Partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had what? Compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a what? A better and enduring possession for yourselves. Where? In heaven. In heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which is what? Great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may what? Receive the promise. In other words, God says, do this. That's his will. When you complete what he's done, you receive a blessing. See, so many people want the blessing before they do it. Oh, God told me this. Yes, let's get the blessing. No, you must complete what he's asked you to do. Amen. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will not tarry. Now, the just live by what? Faith. Faith is spiritual sight. When God tells you, you see it, you do it. Does everybody understand that? It's not God says it and you don't see it. You see everything he says. Or you must make what is seen, what he says. Jesus said something very profound. He says, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. Unless I see my Father do it first. So when the Lord tells you to do something, you see it, then you do it. That's called faith. Does everybody understand that? I believe that there'd be more unity in the kingdom and less division and strife if everybody walked by faith instead of by sight. Because they would see what the decision... Let me share something with you. When God tells you something to do it, and you do it, you can also see the end result. And when you see the end result, you'll know. Everything he gives us, there's always a... Now, you don't know how it's all going to unfold, though. Amen? We don't know how the will is going to unfold, but there is an end result. Every move, every decision, every step you make, there's an end result. He doesn't interfere with your free will. Amen? But we're going to be influenced to make decisions by how we feel, by what we see, by what people say, by opportunities. Amen? That doesn't mean they're God. Hey, there's a lot of good deals, but not God deals. Amen? And we want to walk in God's perfect will. Only in God's perfect will is there a hundredfold return. Oh, hallelujah. So in this, hallelujah, he says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by what? Faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but are those who believe to the saving of the soul. Amen? In other words, we press forward. We should always be moving forward, not backwards. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is everybody okay? Again, we want to have allow a divine right of way. You know, there's been times and I've sensed all of a sudden, you know, something comes up and I start doing it. Then it's like, hello? Oh, sorry. Step back. Go ahead. I stepped in front of you. And there's nothing wrong with saying stopping. Don't ignore it. Don't justify it. Just stop and allow him to have right away. You may be going looking for something. All of a sudden, you know what? I forgot to ask the Holy Spirit. Okay, Holy Spirit, would you show me what, especially as you get older, you have, you get hit with an affliction called forgetfulness. What is it called again? Sometimer's disease. You can break it off now. And, you know, you put your keys down right next to you. They'll be in your pocket, and you're running around looking for them. Glasses. I got 14 pairs of glasses, and I only have one. But I don't know where the other ones are. I'll probably sit on them somewhere, you know. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us all. Where are we at now? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See? I break that off. In verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. For in this we what? We groan, eagerly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, the enemy doesn't have access then. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For again, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our what? Our aim, our desire, our focus. Whether present or absent, to be what? Well pleasing to God. Why? Because we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Here's the end result. See, if you didn't see it, he's going to allow you to see it. That we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Amen? So here again, walking by faith is spiritual sight. Always wanting to please him. Now, how are we going to hear? We want to be able to press through to hear from God. We must press through that dimensional wall to hear from God. And we know that the word says by that faith comes by hearing the word. Well, hearing the word is also associated with hearing his voice. Amen? And Matthew 7. Divine right away. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Let's speak it together. He says what? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Here you are. What are you pressing through? You're pressing through the physical, the impressions of the carnal. Because he says ask. Then what does he say? Seek. Press in. Press through. And then what? Find. It's waiting for me and you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you if his son asks for bread and gives him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who what? Who ask him. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets, which is considered sowing and reaping. Now here's the kicker, because here's the conclusion. He says, look at whatever you ask, you're going to receive, but there's something you got to do. You got to be able to hear. He says what? 13, enter what? By the narrow gate that's pressing through. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow, everyone say narrow. Is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Then he goes and he says, look it, beware of false prophets. Why? They're going to be speaking, declaring things from God, but they're not from God. How many of y'all, there are false prophet spirits? They're called familiar spirits. They pretend, they try to imitate the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know the difference, you'll be misled instead of led. These beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So you're going to know them by their fruit, aren't you? How are you going to know fruit if you don't see the end result? Because sometimes the fruit isn't right there, is it? Something is said, something is done, but when you press through that dimensional wall and you hear from God, you see the end result, what that fruit is. You'll know whether you're supposed to marry this person. You'll know whether you're supposed to buy this car. You'll know whether you're supposed to buy this house. You'll know whether you're supposed to go into this business. You'll know what the end result is of what you're doing. And if it's pushing you away from God, you better know it's on the wrong line. Amen? It should always bring you closer to God. Is everybody okay? So in this, unless we allow him to divine right away, are we going to know? No. We'll assume then. Is everybody okay? Psalm 40. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know things are going to get worse in the world? That means we got to get closer to God. And let your light so shine. Psalm 40, verse 1. What does it say? I waited. I what? I waited what? Patiently. Patience is associated with endurance. So he waited, he endured for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. I kept fast, I held, I pressed through. I prayed. I wanted to break through the dimensional barrier. And he inclined to me and he what? He heard my cry. How did he know he heard his cry? He had to hear that he heard his cry. Does everybody understand that? He had to hear from God that God heard his prayer. He also brought me up out of a what? Horrible pit. Come on, read it with me. And out of a miry clay and set my feet upon the rock and established my steps. How did he establish his steps? Did they just move where they wanted to move? No, he had to cooperate, didn't he? Why? Because he did what? He heard. He put a new song in my mouth. Where did he get that song from? Amen. He heard. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will what? Trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than could be numbered. He waited. What was he waiting for? An opening to press in and hear. That narrow path, that narrow gate. I don't know if you heard or not. Anybody know about CERN, that project they've been trying to do, the collider, that it actually ended. It's permanently shut down because it blew up. And I believe that's just the prayers of the saints. But there's something that they said. They said that they did bust through a dimensional arena for communication. They don't see the end result. They don't know that those are demons they're talking to. They're just scientists out there, carnalized. Romans 10. Petrified and carnalized. Petrified carnality. That's what it is. Oh, glory. Romans 10. Divine right away. It's amazing how many times they try to disprove God with science, but yet they can't. And then when they can, they lie. Because they really can't prove it. They cannot disprove God. Amen? In Romans chapter 10, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. How many of y'all know the word of God when spoken is the voice of God? But I say they have not yet heard. Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In other words, God is still speaking, isn't he? So faith comes by hearing his voice, allowing the divine right of way in thoughts and purpose. In Luke 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 4. And Jesus answered the devil and said, it is written, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but every word of God. So man cannot live. They cannot exist eternally without the word of God. Does everybody get it? They can't. It's impossible. So we must live by his word that is settled in the eternal realm. That's where his voice is. That's where we press into. We press into the Spirit. Remember, the word talks about walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit. By walking and living in the Spirit, you are walking in another realm where the voice of God is always before you, because he's always before you. He's speaking to you. There's times when you can actually see him speak to you. Is everybody okay? Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And why do we need to hear God's voice? To allow him to have the what? Right away. In verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day and today, what? Utter speech. He's always releasing. And night unto night reveals knowledge. Sometimes we have to get it while we sleep, because we ain't getting it while we're awake. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In other words, he speaks to everyone. Even when we were heathen, he was still speaking to us. It's called conviction, called warning. Now the devil loves to speak with guilt and condemnation. Amen? He said, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In other words, his voice to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat or his presence. I mean, remember we talked, every thought has a voice, every voice has a what? Presence. So when God speaks, because there's a presence there. In Hebrews 11. So we see here that the word of God, the voice of God, which is settled in the heavenlies, the other side, dimensional side. Hebrews 11. Hallelujah. In verse 3 it says, By faith, we understand that the worlds were what? Framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are what? Visible. In other words, his voice brought what was nothing and brought it to become something tangible. So even the worlds, everything was spoke. Let me tell you, when Dad speaks, it manifests. In Hebrews 4, in verse 11, Hebrews 4, verse 11, and let us speak this together, please. Let us what? Therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God, the voice of God, is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a what? Discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, thoughts and purpose. So we must allow the divine right away of our thoughts and purposes. You know, that's why it's important to check our motives, why we do what we do. What's my motive? If I'm checking my motive, it should be lining up with his divine order. If I'm allowing the divine right of way to come, then the motive should be divine. It should be a motive that's pleasing him, not out of the carnal or flesh. Amen? Not out of rage or jealousy or competition in an arena to where it's ungodly. Competition is good if it's godly. Why? Competition with yourself. Not with people, with yourself. Why? You want to overcome self to grow. Sometimes we need to set challenges in our life. That's a competition with yourself to what? Grow. If you're not willing to do that, then you stay stagnant. And then you're not increasing. And if you stay at a level where you're not increasing, you begin to decrease. And that's where the enemy wants to get us. He wants to get us into a comfortable place. In Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's speak it together, please. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have what? Heard. Lest we what? Oh, man. Lest we what? Lest we what? Let me tell you, that is one of the big ploys of the enemy. If he can get you to drift, he knows he's got you. It only takes one step out of divine order, and you begin to drift. That's all it takes. One step. And as you begin to take that one step, and what happens is, because when we take that one step, the enemy is right there to justify it. It's okay. Just keep going. But see, if we don't stop, it's going to take both steps then, isn't it? Then it's going to drift us even further and further away. When you compromise one, you compromise two. Does everybody get it? And if we have to... And so many times, then the enemy comes and he speaks to us and he tries to justify and reason why we're doing what we're doing, promoting unrighteousness, rebellion, disobedience. Well, you're not. It wasn't your fault anyways. And this, does everybody understand? He tries to justify every area to keep one foot set in the wrong direction. That's all it takes, one foot. And next thing you know, one thing's going after another. If you ever notice that if you were to close your eyes and try and walk straight, you'd end up in a circle. That's why we walk by faith, which is spiritual sight. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. In other words, put the things into practice which we've learned. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. Who's he speaking about? Me and you. The world is waiting for the sons of God to take over. Amen? And set over him the works of your hand. How many of y'all know God has set the works of his hand over to us? You have put all things subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. See, the demons should be seeing Jesus in me and you, not us. Amen? So we must be careful not to drift away, but to constantly put into practice the things that we have learned. You know, there are many people who are zealous. Amen? Look, you could have zeal without faith. You can have a testimony without faith. Proverbs 3. You can say all the right things and yet have no faith. Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 6, would you read it with me? Or verse 5, I'm sorry. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways acknowledge him. Let the divine right of way, let him have his way. It will be what? Oh, sorry. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall what? Amen. Direct your paths. How many of y'all want to be led by the Lord? Amen. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Listen, you know when evil's come before you. You know whether you're being led by the Spirit or led by something different. And if you're not led by, and if you don't know what you're being led by, stop. You know, I think, no, don't think. Find out. Well, I believe, but that's assumption. It's, I know or I don't know. Amen? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your path because you're allowing the divine right of way. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It'll be what? Health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with all the first fruits of your increase so your barns can be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine, a fresh anointing. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the what? Equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the what? Faith. So we can all see. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to a what? Perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried away by emotional, lustful desires, tossed to and fro, carried away by with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joint and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So it's training for reigning. Amen? Training for reigning. You know, True Ministries is doing a transition. We're going to be transitioning to another name. It will be called Freedom Fellowship. And it will be considered warfare training. It'll be Freedom Fellowship Warfare Training. So even if you look up True Ministries, whatever, it will eventually link you to Freedom Fellowship Warfare Training. God is cutting loose and moving on. We're going into a whole new realm, a whole new dimension. Things are getting ready to happen big time. Hallelujah. So what's happening is we're being trained so that the fullness of Christ and the divine right of way will always be implemented in our life and of every decision. And I want to close at 1 Samuel 17 because this is a powerful example of allowing the divine right of way. 1 Samuel 17. It's something I always share. If you don't know, don't do. Wait till you know. Amen. In verse 26, 1 Samuel 17:26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David was loyal. He was loyal to his house. He was loyal. Loyalty, something that seems to be drifting away. He was loyal. Verse 27, "And the people answered him in this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done for the man who kills him.'" Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here?" You notice that the closest one to you is usually the one the enemy loves to use. If he can use your kids, he will. If he can use your spouse, he will. If he can use anyone, he will. People always say, "Well, why did he use them?" Because he could. People allow it. Amen? "And with whom you have left those few sheep in the wilderness." So his brother was all upset because he showed up where the Philistine was, the military was, and he left the sheep because he was supposed to be taking care of the sheep. But his father sent David with food to refresh them. He says, "I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." His brother was really rebuking him, wasn't he? And David said, "You idiot." No. David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose? Isn't there a divine purpose to this? You think I just came here? There's a divine purpose why I'm here right now," he's saying. "The whole army is being defiled. There's this big Goliath goon out there that's defiling the whole army of Israel. Nobody's doing anything about it." Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And verse 30. "Then he turned from him toward another and said to the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine.'" Now the whole army was out there, and David said, "Look it, man, I'll go out there." In other words, you can't kill something that's already dead. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine, you little varmint, to fight with him, for you are a youth, you're a young man. You're not a man of war from your youth. These men have been brought up how to fight. You haven't been." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the mouth of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." David was using what he had learned, what he had battled with. God was allowing that. See, this was a divine right of way. He wasn't looking at the size of anything. He was looking at what God had already done in his life. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." So, welcome to trials and tribulations. Amen? Well, God is using them to what? Train us up. So many times we run. "Oh, no, I can't believe this happened." Believe it, learn from it, and endure it. Put it to good use. Amen? And Saul said to David, "Go, and let the Lord be with you then." So Saul tried to clothe David with his armor. How many of you know you can't put on somebody else's armor? That's why we're to dress ourselves every day with the armor of God. And he put on a bronze helmet on his head and also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened the sword to his side of armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I can't even walk with these things, for I have not even tested them." So David took them off. Again, you can't fight with somebody else's weapons. God has prepared you specifically with the armor of God and the weaponry. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. What was happening? He was allowing divine right away of thought and purpose. He put them in the shepherd's bag and in the pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about at David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog?" Well, he was a dog. He was a demon-possessed individual. David should have just said, "Yes, you are a dog. That you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled today. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you." Oh, snap! Now, don't go in and say this to your boss or anything, all right? You know, some people that have been mistreating you, all right? You know, you're supposed to pray for them, right? You forgive them, you bless them, then coals will go on them. You don't have to do anything. "And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." There's a God in your house, a God in your temple. "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands today." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put in his hand in his bag, and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. Now, where are your thoughts? Hello? See, because David allowed divine right of way, he was able to take what God implanted in him and destroyed his enemy. It's the same thing. If our spiritual weapons are what? They are not carnal, but they are spiritual. And what? Casting down thoughts and imaginations. He just did, because that thought and imagination was Goliath. That was coming against God. Does everybody understand that? So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of his sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they boogied. They ran for their lives. Hello. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road of Sharam, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. Again, let me tell you, when we allow the divine right of way in our life, you never lose a battle. We lose battles because we do not allow the divine right of way. We try to do it with our own intellect and our own strength. We don't stop and see it through. We don't press in to hear from God. And it's time that we started to press through the dimensional wall and hear from God, and to speak what he tells you and to do what he shows you. And every time you allow the divine right of way, you always have victory. Amen? That's when we can say, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And if God be for me, who can be against me?" Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be imparted and protected by the blood of the Lamb, that it may grow and bear fruit, and that you would quicken us to your word today, so that we will use it and not drift away when trials and tribulations come, and that you would be glorified in every victory. In Jesus' name.